and so on.
In particular, this issue over here, you have on the wall the takonis, you know, from the morale, which you can read yourself. You see quite a number of them. Some stand out more than others you might be more familiar with. But there's a very popular minhag, and you might have heard, and I've seen it here, because many years ago we were here Friday night, where it is customary that in this shul they say Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos twice. What it quite simply means is, they say Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, and then someone might say a Kaddish, and then, instead of going further, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos Oitcho, they say it again, they repeat it. And it was quite a difficult situation, nobody really knew for sure where the source of this minhag comes from. Probably one of the only places in the world, like, where there's such a thing, by the way, to this day, it's continuing on to this day, it's from the time of the Maral, for sure, where Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos is being said twice, one after the other, for no apparent reason. You said it, you just finish saying it, you say it over again. Saying it twice. Then you go on to continue with the Tefillah of Maariv. And in the usual explanation for that was that had this was related to the Yetzirah of the Goyim, going with the tradition that the Maral, the fact that it created the Goyim, the story goes that the Goyim functioned with the fact that there was a Shem, the Shem Kodesh, that the Maral placed with inside the head of the Goyim, and when the time came, like before Shabbos or so, time before Shabbos, then the Maral would remove it, and the Goyim would go to sleep for over Shabbos. And then Matzoi Shabbos again, Maral put in the Shem again, and the Goyim would already be ready for business. To wait for the Shlichus, any Shlichus that the Maral had to send them to, he would go to. The Maisa goes, again, as the legend is told, that it was a particular Friday afternoon, that the quid was that the Maral sent the Goyim for a particular Shlichus, and it turned out that it was Erev Shabbos, and the Maral Poshet, he forgot to remove the Shem of the Goyim. And the Goyim continued to do what he had to do until it was that the Maral was not home at the time because he was waiting for this particular, to see the result of this particular Shlichus. Turns out that the Kehillah already said Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, but the Maral didn't say it because he had missed it. And then he realized there's a need to remove it. By the time it removed the Shem from the Goyim, the Kehillah already said Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, but he had missed it. So he comes back into Shul, and for the morale's sake, they repeated it again. Because of that Maisa, so this is the way the legend is told, that from then on in the Shul. But the Kasha obviously is, there was a particular reason. If in fact that was Isiba that he said it twice, he said it twice for a particular reason, to cover the morale, they said it. But there was no takona that they have to continue saying it, that they should have to continue saying it to say it. So what we have over here is there was a Rav here in the 1930s. The name was Rav Aaron Epstein. 1930s, there was a Rav here by the name of Rav Aaron Epstein, who was the Mechaber of the Sefer Shal Tzitzufis Kapei Yahari. In that Sefer, he records, first of all, some of the drushes that he said here in this shul. Here's the Rav here. In addition, he takes it upon himself to try to maybe explain, because again, in the 1930s, as well as today, and going back much earlier, the minhag of Prague was to say Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos twice. So I think it's very, very interesting the reason that he comes about. He was a big, you can see, as I'll show you, that he was a person, Ibal Halacha, and so forth. So here's some literature that we'll pass along and we'll do it together from Ruban Epstein. So if you can give out some of these handouts, give each one of the Yerlam here. There we are. We have some more. So if you need here, take more away. Here. More, we'll give you more. Here, yeah. Okay. If you take a look here, okay, go here. This is Simon Beis and Shal Tzitzufis Kapei Aharon. So go to the right, to Ois Aleph, right? There's a few interesting things, very interesting things when they get this shul. The first thing is, he says, Al Devar Masha'irim Shom the Beis HaKnesses, right? HaKdoisha. Beis HaKdoisha Al Tnai, right? With the minig was Al Tnai Shul, the minig was Bekabol Shabbos Shnei Po'omim Miz Mashil Yom HaShabbos Zachar. He says, Behef Sekadish B'neim. You say Kadish, and then you repeat again, Miz Mashil Yom HaShabbos. Nerli Tan Poshet. Al Pi Alokha. Mu Dinner Yisi says, the Sefer says, Sefer Achai. Going to Avram Emden, is not the Yaakov Emden at all. And also he saw the Sefer Divra Eila Habris. Divra Eila Habris was a Sefer that was put together at the height of, or the peak of the Melchoma, between Orthodoxy and Reform. And we're talking about here Chassam Sefer, talking about the Mekiveger, talking about Rav Mordechai Benet, all the Gedolei Hador of the time, when they got together. Question was how to deal with reform and to put Yisurim against the reform movement. So they put together all the various letters and all the different tshuvas regarding the opinion of the Gedolei Yisrael against reform. And the Sefer, after it was done, putting together all the tshuvas and all the opinions, it's called Eila Divra Bris. So the Sefer Eila Divra Bris is a compilation of various tshuvas of all the great Gedolei Hador against reform. So in that Sefer, he says, he's referring to that Sefer Eila Divra Bris. Also he says, it'll be safer Malam B'Dohoyl. Who's Malam B'Dohoyl? That was Rabbi David Hoffman. Rabbi Hoffman, again, let's remember, repeat, he was the Talmud of Rabbi Zriel Hildesheimer. Not only he was the Talmud of Rabbi Zriel Hildesheimer, by the way, Rabbi Zriel Hildesheimer, again, was the Talmud of Chacham Bernes, whose caver we saw, we went to. Chacham Bernes, let's remember again, was the one who trained Rabbi Shamshul Fol Hirsch. Chacham Bernes was the one who trained Rabbi Zriel Hildesheimer. We pointed out again, what was the difference between the structure of Rav Hirsch and between Rav Zriel. Shamshul Hirsch basically raised Balabatim, invented the day school to be able to have, you know, half a day at Lamud HaKodesh and half a day at Lamud HaChol. And the emphasis is what was instituted later on, even here in America, this concept of half and half started years ago and very much so by Shamshul Hirsch was carried over. You can imagine that many education and orthodoxy, if you couldn't have, you know, this idea of having with the Kurdish a half a day, many people would not have sent to Jewish schools. Very hard in America when you want to start to establish Jewish schools. People want their children to have an education. But when the idea came up, you know, to have a half a day with the Kurdish, half a day with the Chol, that made it easier. Many people were sending to public school. But once you had this idea and it was a successful idea, it worked. But Kapona went up to high school, but she raised Balabatim. Came the Hildesheimer, Bezril Hildesheimer, who was a Talmud, by the way, of the Oroch Lener. And we mentioned Chacham Bernes trained him also, but as a matter of fact, he was a Talmud Oroch Lener, and he would go, Oroch Lener was Rav in Hamburg, but he would go to listen to the Droshes, the Bezril Hildesheimer would go to listen to the Droshes of Chacham Bernes. And he picked up from him, you know, structure and way, Mahalach, thought, to be able to continue in his war in Berlin. So when he founded the Rabbinical Seminary, he raised Rabbonim. So I mentioned to you that, by the way, Rabbi Yosef Karlbach, but who we saw the Mokim in where? In Hamburg? Rabbi Yosef Karlbach, till the war, he was the one who was in the Mefana of the Kvarim, because the Nazis destroyed that cemetery, Grindel, across the street from the shul, from the Chabad shul that we had, was destroyed by the Nazis. He saw this, he knew this, and therefore it was him, he presided Al Pi Aloche to see that the Kvarim of the Gedolei Yisrael should be transferred. And among them was Chacham Bernes. Chacham Bernes originally was right there. Which now we have an apartment building he saw there. No cemetery anymore. No cemetery anymore. So he saw to it that they should be removed. That they should be removed to Olsdorf. And that's where we went at the end. It was Olsdorf. Chacham Bernes. So, there was Zriel Hildesheimer. Right? So he had rabbinical seminary. And he trained Rabbonim. So after he was Nifter, so the Mamalamokim, who was the head of the Hildesheimer seminary, was David Hoffman. Hoffman was a great poisik, wrote the Shalsa Chuvis Malambad Lahoyal. And the Sri Deish, the Michiel Yankov Weinberg, brings that David Hoffman, was the greatest Balahairoa of the generation. And Reb David Hoffman, from the Hildesheimer Seminary, we're talking about Reb Yosef Karlbach, who was trained by that seminary. And here in America, Rabbi Leo Young, if you heard that name, is also a product of the seminary, that rabbinical seminary in Berlin. And there were others as well. Now, Rabbonim, so when you find these Rabbonim, like from the Rabboni Ashkenaz, you know, going back earlier, are all trained. Because Avram David Hoffman, who headed the seminary, was Rabbi Chil Yankov Weinberg, the Sri Deish. He was the one who became the head of the seminary. So the seminary were continuous in producing Rabbonim. Like we say, Rabbi Yosef Kalbach and Rabbi Leo Young and so on. There was a Rabbi Berkowitz in Chicago. So Rabbi Berkowitz in Chicago was a well-known Rav, also was a product of the Hildesheimer Seminary. So he brings it down over here. He brings it over here. B'shal Sefer Blondhoil, Asher Bebeis HaKnesses HaGdoisha Hanal Hoi Mezamrim L'Chodoyidi B'Klei Shir. Okay, everybody, so here it is. Orthodox Shul, right? Playing an organ. Orthodox Shul. Orthodox Shul, 100% Orthodox. And what are they playing an organ? Mizmor Shir, isn't that Shabbos? Even if you had an organ in a shul, but you're not going to play it on Shabbos. And here he quotes three sources that in this Altnai shul, you have to know this, in this Altnai shul, Mizmor Shir Shabbos was sung and played with an organ. Three sources he brings you for that. He brings the Sefer, he says, Surah Chaim. He brings it from Sefer Divrei Labris. He brings the Sefer Melamed Lohoil. The Efsher, he says Efsher. If you see that L'chadoidi, he says that they sang L'chadoidi. Now, technically, L'chadoidi is not your Shabbos. Because when you're Makabal Shabbos, Mizmor Shir. So, by L'chadoidi, technically, you're still safe. It's not Shabbos. So, he suggests that not only L'chadoidi, he said, they played with the Klei Shir. The Efshir, he says, the Gam Mizmor Shir L'yom HaShabbos Zamru B'Klei Shir. The question is, but how could that be? Elo L'chayre Eich Osukeim Halei Yisa B'Shulchan Orach Erechayim Mesimereish Samakivu. Shulchan Aruch is Paskin Sivdalet, the Lididon have a Bamiris, Mizmor Shir L'yom HaShabbos, that's Kabbalah Shabbos. So Shulchan Aruch Paskins that what? Mizmor Shir L'yom HaShabbos, that's Kabbalah Shabbos, right? K'mo Yanias Baruch Hu, Lididhu. In other words, used to be that, right? Used to be another Mekoymis Baruch Hu was Kabbalah Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch said, but for us, we say Mizmor Shir L'yom HaShabbos. So for us, it begins by Mizmor Shir. So now, so Mizmor Shir L'yom HaShabbos is Kabbalah Shabbos, he has a Kasha, Im Kain, Eich Zomru B'Klei Shir, Mizmor Zeh, Sheboy Kiblu HaShabbos. Asher al keinera. Listen to this. Listen to what he says. Shekavu loyma mizmor zeh beis pa'omim. That's why they were kaveyet to say mizmor twice. Pam rishoyna shloy l'shem kabbalah Shabbos. You know, this is a hemshech of the l'chadoidi service. L'chadoidi, that clearly they did with Klei Shir. But part of the l'chadoidi service, right, l'chadoidi runs into mizmor shel Shabbos, suggests that it was not just l'chadoidi. L'chadoidi, that's l'chadoidi service. They continued on to mizmor shel Shabbos. He says, ki mizmor shir bi'alma. Now, what's mizmor shir? Let's say it. Mizmor shir. Let's sing a song, l'chadoidi Shabbos. So it was a shir bi'alma. It was a song. In other words, l'chadoidi, we sing l'chadoidi Shabbos. Mizmor shir. Mizmor. What's a mizmor? Mizmor is a song. We're singing. In other words, it's a part of the hemshech of l'chadoidi. We're singing a song, l'chadoidi Shabbos, but not l'shem Kabbalah Shabbos, he says. What's the idea? That is very simple. As a hachonah to Kabbalah Shabbos, see, you have to ignite a spark that you'd have a brand to want to be Makabal Shabbos. So how do you ignite the spark? Mazig l'chadoidi v'sadaf tzadam. Right? Right? So you get into the mood of Shabbos. You say Mizmor Shir L'yom HaShabbos. You sing Mizmor Shir L'yom HaShabbos. You get into the mood. Now you're ready for Kabbalah Shabbos. Yetzuk ben Mizmor Shir L'yom HaShabbos. Over again. Now you sing the Shabbos. But no organ again. Second time is no organ. So he says like this. So the Pam Rishon was Shloy L'shem Kabbalah Shabbos. Rakim Mizmor Shir B'Yalma. Lahalhiv. In order, right? In order to ignite a spark. So Machan Abren, he says, it's Lahavus. Levovo is Bnei Yisrael, the Kedushas HaShabbos. Right? Be his oyer is Simcha, the Kras Kalo, and Malkaso. After that, Omru Mizmor Shir L'yom HaShabbos L'shem Kabbalah Shabbos V'loy Klei Shir. Umoz, he says, from then on. Now, he says, even though this custom of playing the organ stopped in the shul, and if the only reason we're saying Mizmor Shir L'yom HaShabbos twice is why? Because the first time they wanted to do it with an organ. So he says, L'chayre, but today we don't use an organ. So he says further that even though he says Umeoz from then on, Afagav Shibotl Klei Hashir, Ubotl Hatam, so the whole time now is bottle, there's no Klei Shir. He says, "Mekol mokim nisher haminag loymer beis pomem is mashir hanal kei nerli beezdes Hashem is work." So here, at least, he's trying to give some, because there is clearly a record that l'chadoidi was sung, was played along with the Klei Shir. So it's not far fetched to say mizmor d'chochet mizmor. It's part of the l'chadoidi singing. So how do you do it with the Klei Shir? You can't. So the first time they did shloim l'shem Klei Shir. Then they said it the second time l'shem Kabbalah Shabbos. No, the Chazon Gevein the minute. some of it. So it remained in this shul, remained maybe a zecher to remember the way they used to be makabel Shabbos amul. So Kapunin said he did mitzvah shilim and Shabbos twice. So here's at least you have something that's makarvel asechel, but this idea which exists till today that you say mitzvah shilim and Shabbos twice. Now it goes further. Shamati, Shigam the Mota Kinsias, Acheres the Poi. Okay, here in Prague. So today you saw a little bit, not the Spanish synagogue. But he says in other Makoimis, I heard that the same minister, it's not just here in the Altnai Shul. I heard that in other shuls, the Poi, here in Prague, Omru Beis Poma Mizma Shil Mishabas. The Efsher, so it's very possible. Shigam the Oysen Mota Kinsias, Shigam Kin Mizamrim, Luchadoidi, U Mizmashir, Hanal, the Kleshir. Or Efsher, or could be, look what he says, not something else. Could be in the other shuls in Prague, they didn't play Mizmashir with it. So how come they're saying it twice? You know why? Because the standard of Prague Minhagim is the Altnai Shul. And if the Altnai Shul says it twice, he says it everywhere. That's the koich of the shul. This shul set the standard for the meaning for the entire Prague. So therefore he says one of two things. The fact that they say Mizmashir in other shuls here in Prague also, either because they also, for the same reason, they also play the organ, so they did it, but even if they did not play the organ, it's because this is the shul that did it, so therefore this minik sets the standard, and he brings a raya to that. You know what the raya is? Something more deep. We all know when there's a bris, Rabbi Isai. We know when there's a bris, there's no tachna. Everybody knows that. No tachna where? In the shul, what is a bris? So if there's a shul in Beis Medrash Aleph, what about Beis Medrash Beis Gimel Dalet? They say Tachnan. Why? There's no bris. What happens, Rabbi said, there's a bris in the Altnai Shul in Prague? The whole town did not say Tachnan. Who says that? The Eliyahu Rabba. The Eliyahu Rabba tells us, who is the Eliyahu Rabba? The article of Rabbi and Shimon Shapiro. The Eliyahu Rabba tells us, says the Kapei Ahari. That's what you'll see. So what do you see? That the standard of Minhagim in the entire Prague was set here by the Altnai Shul. You can see that by Tachna. Tachna is a very serious thing. You can't just be Mevatel Tachna. Yet this is the way it was. There's no Tachna set here because of a bris. He didn't say it. So it's a much easier thing to say, no, my Mabakach say twice, Mishom Shadish Kaveir is this Nish. If no Tachna is said, because the standard is, if here is no Tachna and you don't say it, so it's Yitochen, that just because, since here also, they said it twice, Mishom, so therefore the other shuls also. So go find it. Look what he says. The reason the other shuls here in Prague also had this minute. Achar Beis HaKnesses Altnai Shul, Rosh HaTevis, Aleph Nun Shin. It's after the Altnai Shul, Shohayim Oilam Beis HaKnesses Ho Ikri. This was always time of the Maral, time of the Noi Debuta. I don't care, you had Meisel Shul, you had Pinker Shul, and you had the closed shul. We didn't see that yet. The other one was shul, was left to see. The closed shul. He says, all these shuls, he says, but the Bismedesh Ikri was and will be. This was the Bismedesh Ikri. He says, the Evan Hashasiyah. This is the Evan Hashasiyah. Says, the tail talpio is to call Bodek Nesiyas Eleopoinim. The Gemara tells us, why is the Beis Hamidosh called tail talpio? It's the mountain piois, all the mouths. When he does mispalo, towards who, where is he mispalo? To Beis Hamikdash. Beis Hamikdash is called tail tal piois, because that's the place where all the piois, where all the mouths are directed. The Altnai Shul is the tail tal piois, he says. Of all the Bote Knesiyas here in Prague, this is the tail tal piois. Shekol Bote Knesiyas Eileo Poinim. Kama Shehevi Huel Yor Rabo, take a look inside. Barachayim, Simen Kufel Amad Beis, Liyin Amiris Tachnan, he says, Biyoim Sheshmila Shaminik BePrague. The Minig is in Prague, Kisheshmila BeBeis HaKnesses Yeshena BaChadosha. When there is here, right, in the Altnai Shul, Haina Altnai, She'einoimrim Gam Bishar Bote Knesiyas. We don't say Tachin in other shuls as well. Ayin Shom. Bechazdei Hashem, look what he says here. Bechazdei Hashem Azkir. Shezikani, he says, the Kodesh Baruch Hu help me. He says, I don't see it so good here. It's not dark little. What do I say here?
The Ruach Samachai Gimel.
Okay, Lahachnes, he says, No, it's not. Let's say the words together. Shezikani. What's it? It should be Barev Chazdo Yagodl. This is what it should be. Okay. Zikani Shem is what Barev Chazdo Yagodl, Hachnes Beni, Hanoidali, Haben Yoker, Ephraim, Bebriso, Shlav Romaviru, Besekneses, Hakadosh. Always use Hakadosh, it says. Hanali says, Bedalat Sim, the High Shat, the Tofrit Sadakalis, 1931. Yischazdei Hashem Boi Shlomo Zemzakim had a boy and had the bris right here in the shul. It says, Lefragu Kein Yezakeinu Shem Yisborach Lachachnis Soi Latoyre Liyira Lachupe Lomasim Toivim. He says, Imshar Bonei Hashem, right? Yishmereim V'yechayeya. So here we have a very, very interesting account from a Rav right here, the Rav of the Altnai Shul, 1931, 32, here's Rav 33. There's Rav here, and he explains it. Now, let's go weiter. Question, why is it called the Altnai Shul? Now, if you listened to anything to the guide, right? So the guide suggested Altnai, and this is the way it's written up in, if you buy any book here in Prague, these little pamphlets that talk about the history of the Altnai Shul. They say old new, yes, old new, which means that even though this is a very old shul, it's a very old shul, right? It goes back to the 1200s. Nevertheless, it's still new. Why new? Because there was something there before. There was something before as well. So there's something there before. It's not old, it's very old. The oldest that you can find around. What exists, as far as what exists today, it's the oldest. But there was something before it, which like it doesn't exist. So it makes it the old new. It's old, but it's still new, because there was something before. So here, he's going to give you another reason. You can see interesting why it's called the Altnai Shul. That's the way it's said, that's what it's written, is Altnai. Omnom, yesh oimrim, sheshmo ho'ikri miyom ha'ikedem. Now those who say that the real name, he says going back, says Altnai. Now in Yiddish it's Altnai. Same sound. Yeah. In Yiddish, Altnai. What's Altnai? Old new. In Lashon Kodesh the same words, Altnai, on condition. Altnai. Kapi Haran writes that from the Meikedem, what they used to really say, it's not Altnai, old new. It really means Altnai. V'chein Re'isi says, V'sefer Eila Divabris. Again, he quotes from a Sefer, we mentioned before. The Mechtove, he says, when you find there from some Sefer, like I mentioned to you, it's from the Sefer, from the Gal Yisrael. V'shar Gal Yisrael, Shom Zechusam Yogaleinu, Koru V'kozvu. They called it, and the way it was written, Shema Altnai. So not Altnai, old new, but you see that the Gedol Yisrael, when they refer to this shul, how did they write it? Altnai, on condition, he said. Sefer Lamed L'Hoyel, again from Reb David Tzvi Hoffman. Sefer Lamed L'Hoyel also, Hevi B'Shem Sefer Tzor Achayim, Shebekes Neses Hazeh, Omad Mizman Bay Sheni. Hear this now, Rabbi Isai? Hear it now? Hear something new now. So you're telling me about his, that this goes back, what, to the 1200s? It goes back earlier than that. Mizman Beisheni v'chein oimrim poi. And this is the way they say here in Prague. There is a Messiah here that this Beis Medrash, Beis Knesses, not Beis Medrash, Beis Knesses, goes back to Beisheni. Now what does that mean? So it goes further. V'shamati. Shamati oimrim, he says, l'Beis Hashem, asher bizman achurim hoye mevim b'nei Yisrael, Ashugolu na avne beis hamigdash v'kovu oisam b'yesoid beis knesses hanal. Hear it? Is that? Which means to say is that they brought when the Eden, when they left Eretz Yisrael, and they went all over exile. He went to Golus. They went all over the place. Was man by Shein, the Eden came, but they knew they're leaving Eretz Yisrael, but they didn't want to leave and separate themselves in Gansen. So they brought some shrine from Eretz Yisrael. What did they brought? Stones. They brought stones, and when they built the shul, Underneath the shul, the foundation of the shul, they put the stones of the Beis HaMikdash, whatever was left over. Some of one of the Beis HaMikdash, they brought along with them. They put them here, as she says, Beis HaKnesses and Al-Tanai, but being that these Avonim were taken from the Beis HaMikdash, it's put here Al-Tanai, but Beis HaShem Mashiach at Kimin, we're going to go back to Eretz Yisrael, we're going to take those Avonim back. They don't belong here. It's only here now because we're here. But when we're going to go back to Yisrael, Mashiach is going to come, we're going to remove. So they never had intended that this should be forever. It's called Altnai. It was brought on condition, he said. She says, Sheyachzor Eretz Yisrael, Yeshivu es avnei beis hamikdash lemekoimon, v'alkein korish shem beis hakness hanal, Altnai. Okay, you realize this pshat, he said, you see the heading of the paragraph, Shomati. That's what I heard.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll continue in the restaurant.
Yes, sir. Where's Mr. Morgan? Ellie, give us the. Okay, so this reason that he said there was Al-Tanai, because he's going to bring back the stones later on, this he said the Vishomati. So he goes on further and he says, Bani Yoimer, so I say like this, Im Kabbalah Nekabal, Avladin, he says Yeshuvah. In other words, if it's a Kabbalah, he can't ask any questions. But Ladin means, but if you put on the scrutiny, I have kashas against that, he says. But if it's true, this would have to be Makabal. But what's the kasha I have on it? He says, V'yev shelachav ma'dover lamitis. He says, that shmu, he says, lahalocha doesn't stim. Why? Ki halayisa betiseftet m'sachtas megillah. This is beferish ebraise. Avnei heichol va'azorois shenivgimu. That even if avonim of the Beis Hamikdash, heichol, if they became damaged, ein lem pidyon. Why could they have kedusha saguf? They have kedusha saguf, so if they became, let's say, damaged, so you may want to redeem them, use it for something else, you can't. What do you do? There's only one etzev, v'tu'un and genize. Right? So you have to be genize, you have to be goinize it, you have to bury it. V'chein posa karamba, perik alef mehilchus beis habechire, because they said that they used it as the yesoid. This was like the foundation. So he said, how were they able to use it as a foundation? He said, because that means you're being mishtamish with it. Emelos will say it wasn't used actually as a foundation. They buried it underneath. Stamazoy. Now they did geniza underneath, very deep. Gonzu, he said, they were goiners, these avonim. By the Shem Geniza, Beis Amokim, Tachas, Beis Akneses, Boifim Shein, Huavonim, Mishtamshim, Klal, Lahabinyin. Oy Efsher, or maybe he says, the Loy Avonim, they were not stones, he says, Mitzian, Vrishalayim, Bedoy Avon, Beis Amigdash, Heviu, Vikovu, the stones were Vrishalayim. Kemam Rakosif, Kirotsu, Avodechos, Avoneo, Vesafor, Yechonen, with Posik says, until the Melech says, that I try to pursue any chelik of Eretz Yisrael, even the Avonim of Eretz Yisrael. So it's Yitochen that there was a toys in the Shemua, not that they brought Avonim of the Beis HaMikdash here, because that would be a halachic problem maybe, but rather they brought Avonim of Eretz Yisrael, which is Choshev also. Kirotsu Avodecho Savoneo. The Posik said, or the Melech says, I try to pursue your Avonim, the Avonim of Eretz Yisrael. The Hevi Shom Rashi, Bishay Medrish Agode, Sheikh, listen what happened. It's another thing. Sheikh Shiyotza Yechonyo, when Yechonyo Melech Yehuda was driven into exile, when Yechonyo left Eretz Yisrael, right? The Galusoi Nosu Imohem Avni Yerushalayim V'Afro Livnos Lahem Shom Bebovel Beis Hakneses. That's a Rashi already. So you see that there is a precedence for that. There's a Rashi that when Yid went into Golus, with Golus Yechonyo, they actually took Avonim from where? Not Beis Hakneses, Yerushalayim. So you see that there was a cheshivas to take Avonim from Yerushalayim. So here too, when they came to the Altnashu, instead of saying they took from the Beis HaMikdash, which may be a halachic problem, they took Avonim of Yerushalayim. And so, because if you're leaving, if they're already forced to go into Golus Bovel, at least let us have in Bovel a shmek of Eretz Yisrael. What's that? But at least having some of the Avonim that we take from Eretz Yisrael with us, so our Golus at least will still be connected to Eretz Yisrael through the Avonim of Yerushalayim. Which is Orchid Amale. Horai, they did it that way. Then he says another Nakuda, there's a Rashi, listen to this. V'hain it be'kinishti d'shof v'yosef ben Ardoa. The Gemara tells us, k'perish Rashi, b'shas megillah daf choftes. The Gemara talks about a shul in the Ardoa, d'shof v'yosef. What does shof v'yosef means? That it was somehow, it broke down and they repaired it. And Rashi talks about that shul. Rashi says, interesting Rashi, the shul in Ardoa was in Bovel, and Ardoa is in Bovel, but the shul had avonim that were brought in from Yerushalayim when Yidin went down into Golus. So there's b'ferish reference in Masechtas Megillah about a shul being constructed through Avonim taken from Yerushalayim. So suggest the Kapei Aharon that in fact might have happened here too. Instead of talking about actually Avonim of the Beis HaMikdash, it's good enough to say that he took Avonim from Yerushalayim, as you find by Golus Yechonyo, and as you find, Taka the Gemara tells us there in Masechtas Megillah. He says that they came Bizman Achurim, Heviyu Itom Avonim, Va'ofer Yerushalayim, Ubonu Behem Beis HaKnesses Hanal. However, there's only one problem.
There's no tonight.
What he says, what tonight? You see, to take back the Avonim, but you know, Beis HaMikdash. But maybe you could say also, you brought Avonim from Eretz Yisrael, there's also tonight. They're going to take him back to Eretz Yisrael. You say, this is Kim Nochzum. We can't see like Nochet al tonight. But the problem is a very interesting discussion. But listen to this. V'linere. So Mamele says, bottom line, after all this discussion, my opinion is, Kriya Shem Beis HaKnesses Hanal Al Tanai Kemat beforeish b'shas. Here it is, he says, with all of these hashoris and trying to defend the shmuas, that the shmua might be this and the shmua might be that, I'm going to tell you a reason which is kemat beforeish b'shas. Sartis Megillah daf chof aleph omad beis. Listen to this gemara. Omar Rav Asi, but the knesia shebebovel altenai heim asuyim. Okay, beforeish gemara, you find this concept that when they built the shul in Bovel, they built it altenai. What does it mean? Why? What does it mean? Ba'ayin shon b'toises. Okay? Look in toises. Divra maschil. Delebote kenesias. Shebe eretz Yisroel lo mahane tenai. If you build a shul in eretz Yisroel, help nishka tenai. Shere kudusho son lo oilam kayemes. Ma she'ein ken lebote kenesias shebe bovel. Which is shaharei le'ez bo goyel b'mheiro b'yameinu. Tifka kudusho son mahane tenai. In other words, a Bisa Knesses has a kedusha. Now, if I make it tanai, which means I'm building it conditionally, which means that the kedusha is removable. So Tosfos tells us that a basic knesset that's installed, there's no condition, there's no tanai. Why? Because kedusha is supposed to last forever. But Bovel is something is not going to last forever. One day we're going to leave Bovel. So in the middle of the halacha says that even when you do build a shul in Bovel, you can build out tanai, which means you can remove the kedusha earlier if necessary. You build out tanai, which means now it's going to have kedusha, but when it's finished, when it's over with, so he says, this shul, the Altnai shul, already was built right after the Churban. Kishiboy b'nei Yisroel b'goyla. Hinei, he says, this was Beis HaKnesses Rishoino, poi shenivnesa Altnai. B'hoi lem dover zeh HaTnai dover chodosh ma'oid. It was very new. Why? Because look again, the Gemara says Beis HaKnesses shebebovel Altnai. So the first time they started building... The first time they started building shuls al Tanai was when? Only when they came to Bovel. Till Bovel, they never knew of building a shul al Tanai. So when did they start building a shul al Tanai? After the Churban. So this was a very new thing to call al Tanai. This was, why? This was after the Churban. So it was a Dover Chodesh. Listen to what he says. There was a Dover Chodesh Moed. Why? Shloi Hurgulu Bov Eretz Yisrael. Right? So when you give a name to something, you give a name when it has a Chiddush. Something that's very common, you don't give it a name. Being this was the first, one of the first shuls that were built al Tanai, it's called al Tanai. In other words, in spite of the fact that all but the Knesses and Bovel are built al Tanai, this one has the name al Tanai. Why? Because it was a new thing. The second shul and the third shul that's built al Tanai, Mechateise. So, but it was a Dor Chiddush because till Bovel, there was never such a thing al Tanai. The whole concept of building a shul al Tanai is Bovel. This was built right after the Golis because the Yidden came after the Churban. So Mel, so being this was the first shul built al Tanai, they called it al Tanai. In other words, because technically every shul today can be called al Tanai. But he's trying to bavar and he says, you're calling this al Tanai because why? Because it's built al Tanai. So every shul in Chutz La'aretz is built al Tanai. So they'll call every shul, say, why should we call it al Tanai? It's not a Chiddush. It's Mamela. But the Esh Temum with Gibot Ashil al Tanai, that was a Chiddush. It was called, this is a shul that was built al Tanai. Busy yet, we didn't do that. Now we did it. This shul is called al Tanai because that was the first opportunity to build a shul al Tanai. Even though now it's done that way. This he points out, because this was a Dover Chodesh Moed, it was something new. Look what he says. Such a new thing to build a shul, new concept. Now we can build a shul al Tanai. Koro oisa al shem achidish hanal. He says, Hain al Tanai, al pi hagemore. So now Rabbi says, we have some strong foundation at least to have some asog v'stitza chibah that name, al Tanai. We're going to go eat. You look on your own on the sheet, but when he addresses himself, it seems already in the 1930s, people came into shul, into this shul, because of the uniqueness of the shul, they charge money for entrance already in the 30s. There's not something new now, in this century. This already goes back in the 1930s, and the Shiloh was asked, can you charge money for people to enter a shul? So the bottom line of the tshuva, he says, for people to come to Daven, you cannot charge. So when they charged money, he says, to come to the Altanai shul is shloi bizman atfila, stop to look at the shul. For that, there's no issue to charge money. So that's the next tshuva behind, the next page. All right. So see, he was a rav here in Prague, and he had to defend the Menhogim. He was the rav of the Altanai shul in 1930.
His name was
Rabbi Aaron Epstein. I have to have the cipher. Okay.
He was rav here
in the Altnai, not just rav here. He was the rav of this shul. As a matter of fact, it's no time again. I have here with me one of the drushes that he gave. Shadarashti Tofresh Sadigimel, the Altnai shul over here. That's it. Wow.